Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Christopher John O'Shea. Chris?
Andrew, we are back.
We are back again, and we are on an open show tonight, right?
We have the whole show.
The whole show? That means our listeners are our guests tonight. They get to determine the direction of the conversation. And if they call in and ask a question, that is what we are going to talk about tonight. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question and lead in the direction of something that's important to you. Maybe you're wondering what's happening with the stock market. Why? Maybe you're wondering about tax law changes, and you got the end of the year coming, and are you prepared? You know, you don't do your tax planning, Chris, in April, you know, of 2019 for 2018. There are some things you can do, but the majority of your tax planning has to be done before December 31st. You know, sure.
And
that's when the big things are done.
Yep.
And so if you're maybe you're curious about that, maybe you're curious about IRAs or Roth IRAs, or should you be doing a Roth or a traditional IRA or in your 401k plan? Maybe you have to make your company benefit choices and you want to ask questions about that. Maybe you have insurance questions, life insurance, auto, home, long-term care, something of that sort. You know, that's a topic we haven't talked much about lately. We ought to, you know, try to find somebody to help come on and talk about long-term care. From a risk management perspective.
Sure.
Not from an insurance salesperson's perspective, but from a long-term care risk management perspective. They're hard people to find, though. You know, most people who want to talk about long-term care have a deep economic bias of talking about long-term care. And so we want to try to find somebody who gives us a risk management analysis of the equation without any economic bias on that topic. But, you know, whatever the topic may be, if you want to call in and ask a question, the lines are open for you. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question on a topic that is important to you, now's the time to do it, because those who call in early are the ones that get the most time on their topic that's of interest to them.
And maybe it's on estate planning. Maybe you think, well, you're not sure if you have a will. Well, if you don't have a will, you have a will. Maryland has prepared one for you.
You know, so you know, it's funny, when you don't have a will, a lot of people think that Maryland's will is Maryland gets all the money. Yeah, that's really what they think.
If that doesn't send you to a lawyer,
you know,
or somewhere.
I mean, it's not true, but
right.
it's you know, you would figure that would scare people who believe
sure.
that Maryland's going to take all your money. You'd run to get a will, but it's not true. What they use is Maryland has a family tree. You know, it basically mm-hmm. says, do you have children? Do you have parents? Do you have grandparents? Do you have brothers and sisters? And it uses that family tree to determine your intestate distribution.
The biggest thing is that, you know, a fair amount of assets are already going places. You may just not know where they're going. IRAs, insurance policies, so they're not going to necessarily go through your will. You've got designated beneficiaries on those. You have brokerage accounts with...
Which is another thing that a lot of people don't understand, is when they hear estate, that word is used in many contexts. There's your gross estate, and then there's your probate estate.
Yep.
That's just two words. Gross estate means anything that passes to anybody in any way, shape, or form.
Yep.
But a probate estate is only the assets that somebody has in their own name at the time of their death, with no beneficiary designation and no joint tenant or anything of that sort,
right,
that would determine where it goes. So that's called your probate estate. So if you have a bank account in Chris's name only, and your wife Deb isn't a beneficiary, nor is she a joint tenant.
Yeah.
Nobody else is. It's just in Chris's name, and Chris dies. Now you need the state to empower your personal representative, your executor, to probate that asset, look at your will, determine who it goes to, and if you don't have a will, look at Maryland intestate law and determine who it's going to go to and make sure it gets to that person. And State of Maryland oversees the process of those probate assets.
Right.
But if I put a beneficiary designation down, it bypasses probate and it goes to that beneficiary on my beneficiary form, even if it's wrong. So, you know, I got divorced 6 years ago. I never looked at my beneficiaries. I still have my ex on there. And all of a sudden I die. My children come in and say, you know, hey, Dad didn't leave that to Mom.
Yeah, right.
You know, they left it to me and my brothers and sisters, you know, because they got divorced. And, you know, he certainly didn't want anything to go to her. And the next thing you know, Mom's in there saying, wait a minute, I'm the beneficiary? Hey, I want that. And next thing you know, going to Mom. That's what the Supreme Court of the United States ruled just about 5 or 6 years ago. So you got to be real careful about that. And so there's lots of topics people could talk about if they want. 410-922-6680. Estate plan is just one of them. Social Security is another. Medicare is another one we deal with a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you deal with that when you're turning 65? Do you have to go on Medicare, you know, and things of that sort? So, and the lines are open, 410-922-6680, and the people that call in early are the ones that are going to get the most attention to their question. So
yeah, like you talk about the Medicare. I mean, that's when we find that for those who have never had relatives that they've helped through the process, it's just a brand new thing. They have no idea when they hit 65 what's in front of them.
Yeah, and there are a lot of nuances to that. So we're going to try to see if we can get to Joe in Catonsville. Joe, how can we help you?
Sure. I received an inheritance in August, and substantial, about $300,000.
Right.
Okay. And, of course, took that money in mid-October and diversified that across, well, diversified into some ETFs in, you know, tech and consumer discretionary and healthcare and small caps, mid caps, and so on. And of course, now we're riding the waves, and I was curious, you know, we've got plenty of time, you know, only 50, but just, you know, is there a point where it reaches, you know, down like about 15% right now overall?
Right. So good point, you know? Joe. First off, I've got an article that I'm publishing in probably the next week or two. It should be ready. It's called Understanding Stocks, and it talks about the difference between somebody who sits around and watches the price movement and, you know, like you just said a second ago, down 15%. So you're watching that movement of the price and the value of your account and so forth. And the other person I talk about is a person that just thinks about the ownership of an asset. And what asset do they own, and why do they own the asset that they own? And when somebody watches price movement, you're going to get stuck into the evil enemy of the investor, fear and greed. And when somebody owns and thinks about just the asset that they own and why do they own that asset, and the fact that the United States companies that you own in those ETFs are some of the world's greatest amount of assets, the world's greatest amount of incomes, the world's greatest amount of patents and inventions, and some of the world's greatest talents in the world. Some of the smartest people in the world work for these companies. When you start thinking about those kind of things, you shut out the noise of what's happening on the day-to-day market movements. And it could go down 30% for all I know, Joe. But one day, when it turns, if you go back and look at the history of the market, when those markets turn, you're never going to predict when that turn comes. And in that turn, within a week or so, you could easily be back up 10 to 15%. And you're going to miss the majority of that, the people who think they're smart enough to get out of the way of these short-term downturns and so forth. You just got to accept these downturns when they come, understand why you invest, and understand the ownership of the asset that you have. So I'm going to have that article ready if you want to go to our website, the Consulate Journal, and you'll see that Understanding Stocks and just give you a little better perspective of that.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, buddy. You take care. Good question. We could talk more about that, but
sure.
We're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Right now we're going to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee-only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There you go. Good song. Oh, Holy Night, in case you wondered, is my favorite. Or Do You Hear What I Hear? Are two of my favorites. And O Come Emmanuel.
He got one out of four, so he's got one. He's got three more to go.
Three more. He only got two more, doesn't he?
I thought you just mentioned three other songs.
Oh, I have mentioned three other songs, but we only have two more leading out of the show, right? During the show. Anyway, we're on an open show, Chris.
What I hear.
410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. 410-922-6680. And we're going to go to Jim first, and then we're going to come back. We're just going to talk a little more about Joe. Because it was a great question that he asked, and I can understand.
Timely,
you know,
as can be.
Yeah, he comes in October, he puts his money in there, figuring I'm going to be a long-term, and then he watches this start to happen. So, anyway, we're going to go to Jim in Cadenceville. Jim, how can we help you?
Okay, if I can express this right. I have an estate, and I have a will.
Okay.
Now, in that estate, I have an IRA, and then I have also a non-IRA, which goes to my nieces and nephews.
Okay.
Now, on the IRA, that goes to charity, 100%. And I have that.
Wait. Say that again. Which one goes to charity?
The IRA.
The IRA goes to charity. Is that via the beneficiary designation on the IRA?
Yeah, beneficiary designation is already attached to it.
Okay.
So that's not in my will.
Well, it's not going to be part of your probate estate, is what you're saying.
That's the ultimate thing. Here's the double twist on that. I want to count that as a tax deduction against the taxable portion of my, when I die, of my non-IRA estate.
No, you can't do that. I mean, you know, what's going to happen? Let's just assume that you have $500,000 non-IRA assets and you have $500,000 of IRA assets, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So when you give the $500,000 to charity, they're going to say that $500,000 is completely tax-free, okay? No inheritance tax, no income tax, et cetera, goes to charity, and they get the money. Now, the $500,000 that is after-tax money, so there's no income tax consequences of it, and they get the step-up in basis, even if you have highly appreciated stocks or mutual funds in there, your nieces and nephews are not going to pay any income tax or capital gains tax on that money. But your nieces and nephews in the state of Maryland, if you die in Maryland, are going to pay 10% inheritance tax on that theoretical $500,000 of money.
Well, I understand that 10%. That's ultimately where I was going to go to. But your explanation of that, you're saying, like, for instance, I got a lot of annuities.
Okay.
Aren't they taxable?
So now, if you're talking after-tax annuities that are growing tax-deferred,
Tax-deferred.
And that's what you're leaving your nieces and nephews. Those will be taxable to
But they're in my will, and I want my will to pay for the taxes before they get to it.
Now, you're talking income taxes or inheritance taxes? Those are two different creatures.
Now, income tax.
Your will not pay the income taxes on that money unless they liquidate the annuities, create the income in the estate, and then the estate pays the taxes. And I would not encourage that of you in any way, shape, or form, because your estate is going to be in the 37% tax bracket on the first $12,000 of income. Your nieces and nephews are unlikely, unless they're all darn rich, are unlikely going to be in the 37% income tax bracket.
Okay, so in case I probably missed something there, if I just leave it alone and not liquidate it, how does it go to the, you're saying it won't be any tax on that? Income tax?
This gets complicated now, Jim. You know, so let's say you have an annuity and you bought, so remember my original theory, $500,000 going to your nieces and nephews, $500,000 of the IRAs going to charity. So take the $500,000 to charity off the table. Right. Now we've got the $500,000 over here going to nieces and nephews. They are going to pay a 10% inheritance tax on that $500,000 because they are non-exempt heirs in the state of Maryland. Now, if you go across to Virginia or Delaware and die, you pay nothing. Your nieces and nephews pay nothing on that money. It's only if you die in Maryland are they going to lose that 10%. Now, let's say that $500,000 is in an annuity, and you paid $300,000 for the annuity, and it's now worth $500,000, so I have $200,000 of taxable income.
Right.
Here's what's going to happen. Your nieces and nephews can either, the executor of your estate can do either one of two things. Now, first off, you got to answer me a question: is do the annuities have the nieces and nephews as a beneficiary in the annuity,
or no, it to a state?
You have it to the estate. Okay, so the executor of your estate can either liquidate those annuities and then turn around and pay the taxes on that $200,000 of income, or the executor can distribute the taxable income from those annuities to each beneficiary to pay their own income taxes on the income from those annuities. That's called a form, that's called a tax form 1041 estate and trust tax return. And more than likely, a good accountant is going to want to distribute that income out to your nieces and nephews to pay the income tax on it instead of your estate, unless your nieces and nephews are very wealthy individuals.
But you say that would be the less expensive way to do it. In other words, I pay less taxes that way.
Well, you're not going to pay any tax because, remember, you're gone, right?
Oh, sure.
Right. So your nieces and nephews are likely to pay the least amount of taxes if those annuities are liquidated and then the taxable income is distributed to them.
I got you. Okay.
Now, and also the executor, if they think about this wisely with a good accountant, they could liquidate that money over 5 years, leaving your estate open, liquidating it over 5 years and distribute only some of the income each year for 5 years to your nieces and nephews. And that may be the better of the two strategies, depending on how much money you're leaving to them.
Yeah, keep their tax bracket more measured.
Maybe a couple $1 million.
In the annuities alone?
Well, $1 million in the annuities. The rest of it is in
IRAs.
Well, no. Forget the IRA.
Okay. Without, so you got $2 million in after-tax non-IRA money.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So they're going to pay $200,000 in inheritance taxes. I would strongly encourage you to look at passing away in a different state than Maryland, personally. Or maybe those guys down in Annapolis will get their act together and get rid of the inheritance tax altogether because it's a totally unfair form of taxation. Can you see any logic, Jim, into why Maryland should take 10% from your nieces and nephews, where if they were your children, they wouldn't have taken a nickel from them? No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And family members, they're as close to me as anybody else.
I understand. And you see, this is the lunacy. The lunacy of those guys in Annapolis, because there's only about four states left in the whole entire country that do this kind of crazy stuff. And these guys never seen a tax that they don't like.
Right.
I can't wait until we get rid of these guys and come in with people to start doing something for Marylanders to stay in Maryland.
Okay, thank you. That's been very helpful.
All right, buddy. Take care. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922.
We're going to traffic, and you're going to take some air.
6680, 410-922-6680 if you want to call in. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on the Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, no, it's from your faith.
That's not one of my three that I mentioned.
Well, yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was the last one.
No, I said, O come, Emmanuel.
Ah, well, I think I talked over you, and he heard,
O come, Emmanuel.
This is a good replacement, though.
And not as good as O come, Emmanuel.
It's a measure of minuscule measurement there.
We're on an open show tonight, Chris. And
there's no one on the line.
No one on the line right now. So anyone wants to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, direct the conversation in a direction you would like it to go, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question to direct the conversation tonight. I wanted to just circle back to Joe.
Sure.
And Joe asked a great question, which was, you know, I get this inheritance. I think I'm doing the wise thing. I go out and I buy a diversified portfolio.
He didn't buy the FANG stocks.
He didn't just go out and put it in, you know, like two or three stocks. He diversified into ETFs and mutual funds, and he bought some, you know, large cap, mid cap, small cap, healthcare, you know, technology and so forth. And he thought,
consumer,
you know,
discretionals, you know, you think that, hey, he's doing economy's still going pretty well.
Doing a good thing and so forth. And next thing you know, he just happens to be buying at the top of the stock market in October.
Yep.
He turns around and 2 months later, after he's put his money in, he's got 15% less money than what he put in just a few months ago. That's got to hurt. It's got to hurt. Leaves you feeling depressed that you've done this and so forth. You could have thought to yourself, gee, if I only waited another month or two, I could have bought in. Well, you know, from here, you could have go down another 10% or another 15%. Who
sure.
knows? But the point of the matter is that, you know, if you read this article, Understanding Stocks, that I just going to be putting in the Consulate Journal in the next week or two, and it's basically talking about when you're watching price movement, when you're thinking about, you know, I bought the stock at 10, it's at 15, you know, and so forth. You're setting yourself up when you're watching the dollar value or the price movement of the stock. You're setting yourself up for greed and fear. You're setting yourself up for when that 15% happens after you invested. You're setting yourself up for fear, thinking that, you know, what have I done? you know, this is the stupidest move I've ever made. I should have waited. I could have bought it a lot cheaper, da-da-da-da-da. And if you bought it and it went up right away, you could have thought, yeah, man, I'm a genius. I'm the investment.
Me and Warren.
I'm the investment guru of the world, you know, and so forth. And the way you need to invest is you're thinking about, why am I buying what I'm buying? What do I own? What do I own? I own small cap stocks. I own large cap U.S. stocks. I own healthcare stocks. I own these stocks and so forth. What's the value that I'm buying them at? What do you know? What is the historic valuations of these kind of companies? Why am I buying them? Why am I diversifying into these securities? And what do I own? When somebody starts thinking about it from an ownership point of view, and they put their focus on the long term about what's happening in the economy and in the world, they start to get away from what's happening on a day-to-day basis. That's why Warren Buffett never gets rattled by these down markets, because he totally, totally ignores price movement. Price movement doesn't mean anything to him. What matters to him is, what do I own? Why do I own it? And why am I? Why do I intend to continue to own it? And he's looking at the market that of the companies that he owns. What do they do? What is the moat around that company as to why he owns it? Why does he think it's going to continue to prosper over the long term? And he's looking at those types of things. And his mind does not focus on the short term. And I'll give you a great story about him that happened back in the 1970s. He started to buy Geico. And when he started to buy Geico, he bought it at $8 a share. And from the stories that I've read, he bought it at 8, he bought it at 7, he bought it at 6, he bought it at 5, and he bought it at 4. Finally bottomed at $4 a share. And from that day forward, it went to, I think it was $300 a share when he bought the whole entire company of Geico and owned the entire company of Geico. In other words, he did not worry about a 50% decline because he understood Geico. He understood what it did. He understood what revenue
they
made.
They would continue to do what they were doing.
Yeah, because
and do it even better.
He knew that Geico not only had a monopoly on the government workers for car insurance, but they were now expanding into the public arena and selling car insurance to everyone. And he was saying, these guys are going to clean house. And they did. And they did. And he bought the whole company at $300 a share almost in 1998, 20 years later. And, you know, $8 to $300, that's not a bad profit during a 20-year period of time.
Yeah.
And since $300, I'll bet you it's worth, who knows, $5,000 now for all I know. You know, but it's the ownership of assets, and it's the understanding of where the world is headed. All the problems, you and I were talking about some of the strange things that are happening in the world, but all the problems in the world, nonetheless, the economy and the world continues to get richer and richer and richer, and it is not going to stop anytime soon. And in other words, to feel the worry about a 15% stock market decline is kind of ridiculous to some degree, because where we're headed to in the next 5, 10, 15 years is going to be more mind-boggling than anything we've experienced in the last 20 or 30 years. Technology is going to go far beyond anything we've experienced in the last 20 or 30 years. It's going to go far beyond that in medical technology, biotechnology, you know, in artificial intelligence, robotics. All these things are going way beyond anything we can even imagine from science fiction movies or anything of that sort. It's going to be mind-boggling.
And there'll be some creative destruction going on in there.
Sure. But at the same time,
certain companies won't.
But at the same time, you're going to take, you know, you probably right now have probably about 1.5 to 2 billion people around the world out of 7 billion are participating in the prosperity of the world. In the next 10, 20 years, you're going to bring another 4 or 5 billion of those people into the equation. There are going to be very few people in the world living in poverty 20 years from now, in my opinion. They're going to be
a whole lot less, right?
They're going to be a whole lot lot less because of the internet and iPhones and iPads. These people are going to be able to bypass dictators and corrupt people who are robbing them and stealing them. When you go with the system that's currently in place in these countries, or were in place in these countries, it was easy to rip them off and so forth. And, you know, now they're going to be able to deal and hide money if they need to or whatever. And people are going to get richer around the world and going to be able to buy the same types of things you and I are going to be able to buy. And when that happens, it's going to continue to be mind-boggling. And the people of the world who are already rich are just going to continue to get richer and richer and richer. And the world is going to be far more profitable or economically vibrant 20 years from now than it is today. And those stocks and those funds that Joe bought just a few months ago that he's shown a short-term decline on is going to be worth a lot of money. 15, even just 5 years from now, it's going to be worth a lot more money than he paid for them. And, I can't guarantee that, but look into the future and it's obvious.
Yeah, unless things dramatically change. There's always, possibilities of things happening. But
yeah, but even when you went through World War II and the Great Depression and so mm-hmm. forth, over time, things happened and the markets recovered. You know, even before the Great Depression, market was at 300. Today we're at 30,000 almost, you know? Anyway, we got to take another pause with traffic. We'll be right back with the end of our show. But if you want to call in, it's an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, there are no callers online, so there's plenty of opportunity to ask a question. Right now we're going to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There's someone else in the choir. I've never heard that person singing with them before.
Yeah, he's got the main mic, too. It's one of my all-time favorites.
It's a great
right
song,
there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show tonight, and we have Lou on the line. We're going to Lou in Roland Park. Lou, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew.
Hey, that's how you doing, buddy?
That's a very Catholic hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Very
Advent-oriented.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's our. We were reared in the church, right?
Yeah, in the Catholic church.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. There you go. I was singing Midnight Mass and singing, the Hallelujah Chorus and all. I was just thinking about that.
I was
the other
in
day.
The choir, but I was just shooting spitballs at people.
Now my favorite's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
That's a good one. Very good.
Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Fed. What is going on with the Fed? Why is this guy raising the interest rates? The economy is strong. But, he thinks that inflation's going to come back. Well, that isn't going to happen. At least, I don't think so for the foreseeable future.
I agree with you.
It's not supposed to be a political position, but it certainly seems like he's turning deaf ears to Trump and is going his merry way and ushering in the
Well, new, you see, you gotta understand, Lou, that the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, is operating off of old information, and they're fighting last battles. In other words, in the old days, years ago, 20, 30 years ago, when inflation amongst employment was taking off, it would trigger inflation in the economy as a whole. And so he sees that happening. He sees the unemployment rate down to 3-something%. He sees average wages rising by 3-something%. And he says, well, it's automatic. It's going to be. It's what we've always understood. It's the way it works in the United States of America. I disagree. I think that you have a world where global trade, which forget Trump and all of his tariff things, he's not going to stop global trade. And global trade and the internet are destroying the pricing power of companies, and it's going to be very hard unless you get really, really strong wage growth. Is it going to cause significant inflation in a developed world nation while the internet and global trade constantly punishes companies wanting to try to raise prices?
Right. Well, you know, these tariffs that are supposedly going to kick in, Trump's not going to do that. The Chinese...
He's going to do some of it. He's already done some of it.
The Chinese don't want the tariffs, don't want to see them, and we don't want to see them. So there's agreement there. They're going to come to an agreement. The Chinese don't want to have billions of people revolting.
And, well, he already did put some tariffs in on steel and aluminum and so forth, right?
And you already have pricing. That's being pushed through the system. People are getting pricing for future contracts and things.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he's going to do some, Lou, but you're right. He's not going to do as much as they think he wants to do.
Right.
And even, you know, you're going to get some agreement. But even if he does get it through, it might last a year, it might last two. He isn't going to be around forever. And somebody's going to come in there and say, oh, we don't agree with tariffs because Trump liked them.
Drew, the man wrote the art of the deal.
Sure.
He's doing this to get the best deal he can get for the U.S.
And I understand that. I understand. I'm not saying that he was, you know, he wrote the book. I'm not necessarily sure he's as good at the art of the deal as he says he is, but I'd give him this much. He is a bulldog. If he wants something, he is a bulldog until he gets what he wants.
Well, his patterns are the same.
Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump are the two best presidents that I've seen in my lifetime. And I'm 59.
Well, I like the things that Trump is doing. I just wish he'd keep his mouth shut every once in a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think everybody says that who likes the guy. They just say, just keep your mouth shut. Put your tweet away. Just keep doing what you need to do, you know?
Yep.
So, anyway, I hear you. Take care, Lou. Thanks. You know, he's right on that. The Federal Reserve, I think Jerome Powell was totally wrong on raising interest rates today. I have no problem with if he wants to continue to wind down the quantitative easing of the past, but to raise interest rates when the yield curve's already flat, what's the purpose of flattening it more?
You know, someone wrote it recently just to say, to me, the most prescient, the best observation is, I mean, these guys are bureaucracy, you know. The bureaucracy is never going to come out with something that's really in tune with what's going on. You know, why didn't they start to relax on the why didn't they do it in phases? Why didn't they raise rates after they stopped the QE instead of the quantitative tightening? Why didn't they do that maybe in the spring? And now you're doing, you know, you're continuing the rate rising, but they're kind of doing it all at the same time. Normalization and the tightening all going on.
Well, you know,
my
theory is also the fact that now the election, 2018 election is over. Jerome Powell is saying, I want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've squeezed out any potential of inflation before the end of 2019, that by October at the latest of this year, of next year, I will be lowering interest rates and relatively aggressively. So that the economy will look as positive as possible. So I think that's what he's thinking about. That's what I expect. And I expect him to start lowering interest rates even sooner than October. Probably it'll be April or May. And that's why I think guys like Joe shouldn't be worried at this point in time. Because once the Fed starts showing that they've changed direction, that market could turn relatively abrupt, you know, quickly and eradicate a lot of the downturn in a very short order. You know, anyway, so we're almost over an open show.
That's
we
right.
only have 30 seconds. Who's coming on next week? Somebody's coming on, or is it just me?
I think it's just
Christmas,
you.
The day after Christmas. It's post-Eve.
There you go.
Christmas post-Eve.
I think it's an open show.
It's an open show, and I'm probably going to be by myself, so I hope I have a lot of listeners out there to come listen and answer, you know, ask questions so I can answer them for you. But anyway, I guess we ought to just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and enjoy the holidays, and we'll look forward to being here to answer your questions in 2019. What is that, Chris? Are you just exercising? You're stretching?
Yeah, he wants the choir to come back. He wants to play your favorite song again.
Oh, come Emmanuel, and shower these people with love. Yep.
We don't always get didn't to hear Drew
James,
singing.
Didn't know James Taylor did O Come Emmanuel, did you? Anyway, I bet you did somewhere along the way. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying Merry Christmas and God bless. Things are gonna